Welcome back. Hour number two. Doesn't seem like a holiday, does it? Memorial Day. And I'll tell you right now, if we make it to Christmas, and I'm not joking, I don't know that we will, but if we do, I think you should make it your best effort yet to really observe that holiday for whatever it means to each and every one of you, and that can be different things. It's a day of kindness. It's like Thanksgiving, but a little different. This holiday season may be the last one. No joke. And the money-making aspect of Christmas, it's the same people, don't forget who. That needs to be completely flushed. There's much more to it. Same with Thanksgiving. Every day is a Thanksgiving when you think about it. I don't honestly know how much more Vladimir Putin and his Russian control oligarchs, and above them, the international Rothschild banking monstrosity. I don't know how much more they're going to take of these attacks on Russia. That knocking out of that early warning nuclear missile DEW type of facility. They call it the DEW line over here. Not directed energy weapons, but radar, over-the-horizon radars. That was caused right there for a nuclear retaliation. And we were behind that. Don't forget that. I have the story up for several days. If you missed it, I think most of you saw it. Okay, let's jump into the COVID cauldron and see what's up. Are you there, young lady?
I'm here.
Well, I don't know what I'd do without you. So glad to hear it. It's always nice when you answer back to my inanities. All right. Here's one. This is a little quickie for you. COVID vaccine injury action and support group. Okay, this is how many members in that group now? Injury and support.
I'm guessing close to 7,000.
I figured it'd be more than that, but okay.
Well, bear in mind, this is one of many.
Gotcha. Thanks for clarifying. I know. All right. This fellow posted this, and he's an artist, and in the little image that came with a little post is a painting of him. It's a self-portrait. It's kind of like Van Gogh or Van Gogh. Van Gogh would do. And his eyes are running dark tears down his face. His face, half of his head is melted away. And he says, I deeply miss my old self. The days before I became sick and had to constantly monitor my oxygen levels. I miss the freedom of working without worry, being fully immersed in my job, and feeling productive and accomplished. I yearn for the times when I could travel at will, exploring new places and cultures, experiencing the joy and liberation that travel brought me. Most of all, I miss who I used to be. A person full of energy, optimism, and vitality, unburdened by the constraints and worries that illness has imposed on me. He's talking about vax illness. The sense of loss is profound and pervasive, affecting every aspect of my existence. And he finishes this part, this two parts. I miss me. Pretty profound. So this is the first half. Go ahead and finish it.
Well, there's another one. And this was
second.
In another group.
First half of this subject. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Another individual who is vax injured. It's finally clear to me now that my symptoms for 2 years are very clearly permanent. I was naive for so long, thinking that I'd improve. I'll always live with chest pain, heart pounding, MCAS, etc., and I will never have a normal life ever again. If I haven't recovered from the 2-year mark, my permanent chest pain is clearly never going to go, and I won't go back to being a normal 25-year-old.
Ouch.
And I'm not okay with it at all. I've had breakdowns every day for the past week, and I just want to die. and that upsets me. Seeing all my friends laugh together, and at every event I get pain and go back into depression.
See, the big story here is these people, by and large, have been swept under the rug of current history by the media, by society. People don't want to hear about the misfortune of others. They live in a denial state. As long as the ball game's on, and he says, or she says, whoever this is, seeing all my friends laugh together, and at every event, I get pain and go back into depression. These people are all over the place. You don't hear about them. The MSM will not talk about them. The alt news won't even talk about them, except us. We're about the only one. But these poor people, and a lot of you listening right now fit this class, you matter. You matter a lot. Don't ever forget that. And it's sad that your friends, family, loved ones, and acquaintances may not be showing you that. But you do matter. This really angers me. I don't get angry easily.
You know, the number of people that are grappling with these injuries are, you know, not insignificant. These are large numbers of people.
Well, if the CDC admits 500,000, what was it? No, I forget the number now, damn it. But whatever they said, the number of dead, multiply it by 10 at least. I think it was 500,000. So you can multiply that by 10, you get 5 million dead, at least in this country. I think it's 20.
The VAERS. The VAERS was multiplied by 100, really. It was, you know, vastly underreported.
That was the earlier figure, correct. And I don't know if it's still that way or not. I don't follow VAERS. But let's just take that earlier figure. Multiply 500,000 by 100. That's 50 million,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So we've got a lot of people in this country who have been gravely injured, and they'll never get better. And they have tried, in many cases, everything you can imagine. Everything. And nothing has worked. Some mild symptomatic relief, but they are not better. You can't reverse the genetic damage of these bioweapons or the bioweapon virus. That'll mess you up too. So, and isn't it, if you get COVID three times, you can expect to be confronting some kind of virus injury, some syndrome, something. Your health is going to suffer. I think three was kind of the magic number to get over the threshold.
Yeah,
where you're going to be in trouble.
Depending on how much time, you know, goes by in between infections.
Right.
Because it takes quite a bit of time to recover from one infection.
And
if you happen
time.
To get another one before you've recovered from the first, then you know you're digging yourself into a hole.
What does that show you?
Because of the devastation it doesn't to the immune system, among the cardiovascular system, the blood.
Well, that shows you your immune system has been hobbled somehow.
Yeah.
At the least. All right. Now here's something that. We were among, maybe the first to really make an issue out of, and that's the infamous blood supply, which is a fundamental bedrock portion of organized Western medicine. Transfusions, blood supply. And you know, when you give blood, you're not screened. That blood isn't screened. It's mixed together, and then pieces of it, components are taken out, platelets and all kinds of other things. It's a big, big business. And that blood is now deadly. There's no cleansing spike from it, mRNA from it, all kinds of DNA fragments. Remember, the average injection from Pfizer, Moderna, etc., up to 400 billion DNA fragments, which can combine with your DNA, are in each injection. And what those pieces of DNA can do, it depends where they dock on your chromosomes, in your DNA database. can cause cancer, it can cause all kinds of things. Those are not in there accidentally, not my view. It's called a contaminant, but I think it's an intentional contaminant. This is too much of it. 400 billion pieces, up to that many in one shot. Mm-hmm. All right. Researchers call for urgent action to address mass contamination of the blood supply. Well, the blood supply is, in my view, contaminated to begin with, before COVID. And now we've got the guarantee that a genetic product is likely in, could be in every, could be in many, most blood transfusions.
That's sugarcoating it, a genetic product. Never mind a lethal protein.
No, I didn't want to go there. But I have someone I know, who was going to get transfusions. What the hell did she have? Something like iron problems or something. Anyway, they're going to give her transfusions. I said, don't do it, please. She did. She was dead in 6 weeks. Went right down.
Mm. So I'm not surprised.
These are nuclear bombs, these transmissions, the transfusions, because it's a transmission.
Right.
Don't get it. I know sometimes, I have to. Okay. If you're unconscious from a car wreck and you get it, and you're just going to have to be prepared to deal with the results. All right. Japanese researchers are warning now. These are big warnings of the risks of using blood from mRNA COVID vaccine recipients. I think it's just all across the system. You don't have to try and isolate. It's because it's mixed. Once it's mixed, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
Highlighting, say the Japanese, the potential deadly effects and the need for urgent action to secure the global blood supply. Too late, gang. 80% to 90% injected here in the U.S. 8 billion injected on the planet.
Well,
the blood
is
hopelessly gone. Hopeless.
Yeah.
You can't.
And I know of people who donated blood within a day of having one of these vaccines. And they proudly advertised it.
You're kidding. That's creepy. That is really creepy.
No,
that's
they
bad.
Believed they were doing a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's all mixed, just don't even think about individuals. The simple fact is the great majority of people who donate blood, 80%, maybe more, are shot up. And they're gladly donating their spike, possibly mRNA, DNA particles, we don't know, other things as well. They're donating death.
Well, again, you know, the other concern here, because of the immune suppression that's happening in people who took these injections, there are other active viruses now in the blood.
Many. Yes. It's
and they're not screening for them.
Happy playground. No.
Right.
No. No. Blood contaminated. Now, perhaps the scariest part of all is blood contaminated with prions.
Yep.
We know what that means. And we know that prions can create other prions, no problem. And they'll get right in your brain and other places too. But if it goes into the brain, you're toast. The article says, blood contaminated with prion-like structures from the spike protein raises the risk of inducing fatal neurodegenerative diseases in recipients of transfusions. The potential transmission of harmful proteins through exosomes and the risk of autoimmune disease due to the vaccine's mechanism and components like lipid nanoparticles, carcinogenic lipid nanoparticles, among other things, are other major concerns. Proposals for managing blood collection include rigorous donor interviews. How about one question? Have you taken an injection? You're not going to donate blood here. Sorry. I could do it that simply. One question. Of course, people lie. They want that money.
Yep.
Okay. Proposals for managing blood collection include rigorous donor interviews. Why do I laugh? deferral periods of time, still laughing, and a suite of tests to ensure the safety of blood products. Uh-huh, right. Everybody who donates is going to have that blood put through a suite of tests. No. The researchers advocate for comprehensive testing of both jabbed and unjabbed individuals to assess the safety of blood products and suggest discarding blood products contaminated. They're suggesting discarding blood products contaminated with spike proteins. They're not insisting. They're suggesting.
Yeah, I know.
This is crazy. It's crazy.
Well,
yeah.
You know, they're keeping the public, you know, somewhat appeased.
That's all it is.
And, you know, convincing them that somebody's looking into this.
Well, I love that word, suggest. Uh-huh. That's how determined they are. All right, one particular risk.
You know, I go back to that back in January, Dr. William Mackis had put out that Substack on why does Big Pharma anticipate over 300% growth in fatal prion diseases? And sure enough, between now and 2028, they're anticipating there's going to be money to be made on treating prion disease, fatal prion disease.
Right. Even
and
if they
lived.
Slow it down, they're going to claim victory. Watch. That's what they'll do.
Well, right. People in that situation are going to want to try something. But he listed, 25 cases of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease that have occurred in the past 2 or 3 years. And these are separate and apart from the ones mentioned by Luc Montagnier and Jean-Claude Perez in France.
That was
primarily stateside.
Right. One particular risk addressed in this paper, it's a Japanese paper, is the implication of blood being tainted with prion-like structures found within the spike protein. Prions are misfolded proteins that can cause neurodegenerative diseases such as CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob, in humans by inducing the misfolding of normal proteins in the brain. So yeah, you get some prions going and they'll start little domino effects and you'll have lots of prions. Prion diseases are characterized by a long incubation period. Strike that. We're now having turbo CJD, followed by rapid progression and high mortality, like 100%. The suggestion that the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2, especially from certain variants, might contain prion-like domains, raises concerns for multiple reasons. I'm not going to read all these, but we'll put this up later. So just understand, the blood supply, it's worse than Russian roulette with 5 chambers loaded.
It is no longer the gift of life, that's for sure.
No, that's right. They used to call it that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Gift of life. Okay. We have another CHD bus story, injured by 2 Pfizer COVID shots. This is a military member named Lori. She got 2 Pfizer shots and was given a 12-page pamphlet on side effects that she might expect by the Army. Anything else to add to this?
Yeah, Lori is actually in one of the vax injury groups and has made some pretty good contributions to that group. She's an activist to some extent in trying to get some accountability for, what's happened to the military personnel.
Well, it's been devastated. That's what's happened. Yeah. Okay, let's see what she has to say. I'm listening to this with you first time.
All right, we are live. So can you tell us your name, please?
Laurie Green.
And so you took two Pfizer shots. So let's go back. Tell us a bit of a history of who you are and how you came to that.
Sure. So in December of 2020, I was 12 years into my career at the U.S. Army Joint Base Lewis-McChord, Director of Emergency Services, where I serviced all of the computers at two fire departments, and seven fire departments, two police stations, and all outgates. As such, as emergency responder, I had to take the COVID vaccine in the first round. So if I didn't, other people would get sick if I got COVID.
This lady had really earned her way up to a very important position of director of all emergency services. That's remarkable. And they just wasted her, forcing her to take this bioweapon.
Because I believe in the vaccine program. I'm a measles non-responder. So if I'm exposed to measles, I will get it because the vaccine just doesn't work on me.
So when you took the first Pfizer, how did you feel?
So I see in my phone, because I did lose my memory, so I have to go historical of what I said, that I had a headache within 3 days.
Did you catch that, everybody? She's lost her memory. What does that bring back? That's spike damage to the hippocampus and what do they call it? Autobiographical memory. That's her memory, which is stored primarily in the hippocampus. She lost her memory.
And it wasn't just any headache. I just couldn't get out of bed. And then on January 6th, I went to work, and I really don't remember what happened other than my boss telling me to go home. And that's really the last actual real memory I have for the next 2 years. So I have had to go back and piece together my life. And it's horrible, you know. So
do you remember that when we talked about this? I know you do. You never forget anything. But it had to do with the hippocampus. And there are certain, I want to say, they're like little hard drives that the body makes to store your memory. It's your own autobiographical, your memory, stored in there. And the spike destroys those and prevents the replication of them for replacement memory storage. We'll call them little hard drives, just for fun. So she lost, hers were wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the first people I've heard talk directly about that. And I think I'm correct. That sound right to you?
Yeah, yep.
All right, here we go.
Even though you two had this horrible headache after the first Pfizer, but you still went and had another Pfizer.
Well, we were told that we would have side effects. The Army gave us a 12-page pamphlet, and it was actually put out by one of my eventual doctors, the director of public health at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. I now know, after researching on the CDC website, that those 12 pages are almost all of the information that was ever published by the federal government about COVID vaccine adverse reactions. And it just said that symptoms would be possible and expect them, is what we were told. So when I got a headache, I didn't really think anything of it. But then I also didn't remember how sick I was. I didn't realize I lost my memory. In April of 2021, my boss and my children forced me to go to the emergency room. My husband was deployed for that year, so he wasn't home. I went there. I think I had an MRI. I was diagnosed with IBS, migraines, and I have a laundry list. I wrote it down because I really don't remember everything without writing.
Sure.
So I have vertigo, I have vestibular migraine, acute glaucoma, body aches, chills, insomnia, Tinnitus, I have three types of tinnitus. I have one that's right around 13,000 hertz, one that drowns out at 83 decibels if I'm in the right room with my equipment that I run to neutralize the tinnitus, and one that sounds like a thunderstorm. And the thunderstorm, it keeps me up at night. So at the time, I wasn't even sleeping. As soon as my eyes hit REM and my eyes move, the tinnitus goes off in my head, so I can hear my eyes move. I was given amitriptyline eventually by neurology, and that actually just knocks me out at night. I don't have dreams. I don't remember any dreams. It's just I lay down, and I basically pass out, and then eventually I wake up. I don't feel like I've actually slept in 3 years. I have no detectable antibodies of COVID. I've been tested multiple times, nucleocapsids. I've just never gotten COVID. However, when I'm exposed to COVID, I end up in the emergency room reliving all the symptoms I've already gone through with no antibodies. So do I get COVID at a cellular level? I don't know, because the military doesn't test that.
Wow. That's terrible. Just terrible. Just one frequency in tinnitus is enough to ruin a life. You can't get away from it. She's got three. The eye damage, the glaucoma in the eye, that's another indicator. Eyes are impacted by the bioweapon. This is another tragedy, a life ruined. She's not going to get better. This is not happening. Anything you want to add to that? That's quite a laundry list of horrors.
Well, it's typical. There's
very
a lot
common.
Of people
very, very
with
common.
That list of symptoms and more.
Yep. All right. Here we go.
I have severe hypertension, which I had to discover myself by using a microscope because the Army wasn't testing me for anything outside of the protocol that doesn't exist. They have nothing in the computer system to help diagnose and treat vaccine injuries. I know this. I FOIA'd it. I've done an Inspector General report with the Defense Health Agency. There is no protocol. It doesn't exist. Sound makes me sick. Vibration makes me sick. I'm in this RV, and when I get home, I'm going to be sick because the vibration of the engine and then just the general movement is making me dizzy right now.
She's in the bus or the RV, and I have to turn my equipment down because there's a big hum in the background. There's an engine running, probably air conditioning units as well. I don't know, but something. I turn it down, but, yeah, I can understand why she's being in agony over this sitting there. You can see it.
I wear these glasses not because I can't see, but because I have binocular vision disorder. So if I take them off, you probably see my pupils move around. These glasses have a prism in them to realign my vision so I can actually see. Otherwise, everything's double. And that took me 26 months to figure out on my own because no one at the Army suggested I get tested for that, even though they treated me for glaucoma. I can't walk on snow. I'm from the Midwest. We lived in the snow as a kid. The vibration from walking on snow, it just makes me fall over, and then I have to run to the bathroom and get sick. I could not be anywhere near power tools at the time I got sick, almost for the first 2 years. Just being anywhere within the vicinity of a power tool or a motorcycle or any loud noises would just... It was awful. I have to run to the bathroom, and I would get sick. And when I think that this happens to children, and they just say kids have anxiety or they're depressed, I have a problem with that because I have the words to explain what's happening, and the scientific community isn't listening.
Wow. Just gets worse and worse.
I know.
How this woman has survived is quite a testimonial. All right, I'm going to go back to this. I'm going to turn up my equipment so you can hear the rumble in the bus that she's trying to deal with. After hearing what she just said, it's not easy for her.
That's a shame. And neither is the...
All right, I'm going to turn it up now. Listen.
And neither is the Army, and neither is the federal government. I cannot get my workers' compensation paperwork filled out by Madigan at Joint Base Lewis-McChord because, according to my doctor, legal told them not to.
Right,
I can't have...
Turning it back down now. I think you could hear that.
...diagnosis in the computer system for COVID vaccine injury because it doesn't exist. The codes for COVID vaccine injuries are not in the military health system electronic records.
Wow.
So if we look at my records, we clearly see that my doctor's right in the information, but according to the computer, I'm perfectly fine because it doesn't exist. You know, I have spoken with people that state that there is a population of people in the United States that actually had a full before and after record, and that's our special operators. And all of that information is buried under HIPAA. I have tried to FOIA that. I got nowhere. The information is there. It's not being released. And I can understand why. I don't want to see an end to the vaccine program. I believe in the vaccine program. I'm old enough to remember measles and polio and all these other horrible diseases. And the problem I have is that when a mother says their child was fine yesterday and now they're not, she's telling the truth. And I can explain that. And so can all the other 10,000 people who are sick. And we're not a huge population. We're a minor population. We're discriminated against. We are discriminated by the governor of Washington. We've written and requested multiple times to speak with him. Marilyn Strickland, she not only wouldn't help me, but she called the law on me because I told her I'd call her office every day until she helped me. The Attorney General, I have attempted to consult him on Facebook censoring our First Amendment rights to speak. People in the world have the right to talk about every disability except for COVID-injured vaccine or any other vaccine. We can't talk about it. Our accounts get shut off. And when they stop shutting off our accounts, they just hit our information. Nobody sees it. It's buried. So the AI is automatically filtering out everything we have to say. We can't even talk to each other in a group. Everything is censored. We had to make up little code words with carrot or... It's just... It's ridiculous. You know, if I'm in a vestibular headache, a vestibular migraine support group, I can't say, hey, you know, you should really get checked out for all of these things that you just managed to have happen to you. Like, I don't know, binocular vision disorder, severe hypertension, extreme uric acid levels, because that's what happened to me. I had to buy a microscope to check my blood and my urine to find out what was wrong with me. And when I did, I could clearly see extreme amounts of uric acid in my blood. So at that point, I bought test meters. And my level of uric acid on a daily basis was 16. Normal is under 7. So every day for probably 2.5 years before I figured this out, I was suffering from high levels of uric acid. It's something that they could have tested had they actually taken the time to find out what the commonalities is between all of us. And
now remember, there are only so many symptoms to go around, but we just heard a basketful of symptoms that this woman is describing, the damages done to her body and what those damages are creating. Horrible things. She's one of the few who has the discipline, I would think, and the drive to have done the research that she did to try to figure out what the hell was wrong with her. The Army wouldn't tell her.
Yeah, that's really the exception. You know, most of these people, they don't have a background in biology or physiology, and they really have no idea what's wrong with them. So they're at the mercy of the medical system. And then when the medical system fails them, they quite often end up, in the hands of...
Quacks.
Yeah, quacks. Or just...
More quacks.
You know, these I would call them predators.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the correct word to use. Here we go.
We have not. If they had to research it, then they would understand the problem, and then they'd have to fix the problem.
What advice do you give to people watching now who are suffering deeply? Because you, I know you are as well, but you seem very switched on. And can you give some advice to broken people out there?
Well, so my master's degree is in computer science, and as a result of 23 years of documentation of systems, I can walk into any environment. Well, I could before I got sick, and understand it within a few minutes just by reading manuals of what the system documentation is. I don't have to know about a system. I just have to know the basics of a system. So when I lost my memory, it was more like the memory is there. It's the links to get to those memories that's broken. So it's like if you walked into a library and there's a card catalog there. Someone took the card catalog out, threw it on the floor, lit it on fire, dumped water on it, and stuck it back in my head. And that's how I have to find my memories. So on subconsciously, I must have figured this out in the beginning because I started taking photos and screenshots of the weirdest things. And I found the day I lost my memory. I'd missed an appointment. See, everything in my life was digital because that's my job. Everything was written down. Everything was on a calendar. I can remote work. I didn't have to physically go into work when I was well enough to work. And I missed an appointment. I didn't ever remember going to physical therapy. I'd been there for 6 weeks. And then I had to sit and think of what else I lost. I don't remember my daughter's wedding. It's gone. I don't remember birthdays. I don't remember Christmas. It's just gone since January of 2021. You know, people remember Insurrection Day. I remember the day I lost my memory. I couldn't tell you what happened on Insurrection Day. I've been trying to figure that out for 3 years, and it just doesn't make sense to me. It does not. But you're going to have to learn how to remember again. And I'm working on AI myself because they now have like a personal assistant. And I am treating it just like a computer system. I log my memories when I want to remember it, because if I don't have a picture of it or I didn't write it down, I will never be able to get that memory back. Now, if one of my family members knows enough about a certain situation, they can tell me and then it'll start to come back. But just being able to recall a random question, I can't do it. Yeah, I had to make myself sick to be where I am today. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't walk.
After what's happened to you, will you ever take another vaccination again?
I will. I will not take a mRNA vaccine. I will take the tetanus. I will take the common ones that were actually created from a virus. I really think the problem with this one is that Caitlin Carrico's work, she started this vaccine in 1984. She worked on it for 20 years. Tony Fauci also worked on the COVID vaccine. It says so in her own Nobel Prize interviews. She was a demoted scientist with the lowest salary at the University of Pennsylvania. And her technology was said that they would never use it. It was too dangerous to use, and they shelved her project in 2007. Then she attended a conference where she learned about using pseudouridine as the binding agent for the spike protein. And that's when she started to make headway into this vaccine. There's a lawsuit. She's being sued for stealing that technology.
Did she say Carrico? Is that who she's talking about?
Yeah.
All right.
The University of Pennsylvania has generated over $3 billion, last time I looked, in profits from their licensing of the technology, and they have done nothing to stop and find out why our DNA is incompatible with her mRNA instructions. It's no different than any computer program. It's like I had a blue screen of death on a computer, and I will never be the same again. I'm just stuck in safe mode, just like Windows 98. I can't get out. And, you know, if I could get access to an AI that has the DNA compiler, then I could run my DNA file up against her program, because she only tested it against the DNA of one person. Now, the problem with that is that anyone that is a has those ancient genes they talked about on the news, we have I have the CC on the Delta 32 allele. So I have a full copy of one of the genes called CCR5. And that makes my immune system completely different than 99% of the world's population. They don't have that. So to test our DNA may also actually find a cure to stopping COVID in a real vaccine based on actual antibody and science, not the religion of COVIDism that it has become.
Okay. Well, there's another one for you. She's a very smart lady. She's done
well,
a lot of work.
Well, but I think she's approaching it from the perspective that this thing was a legitimate vaccine.
Sad to hear that.
I don't think that is what it was or could be.
She can't. Okay, she's military, right? So
right.
She understands the concept of conceiving, creating, building, designing, and then deploying weapon systems. She doesn't want to go there. I understand why.
Mm-hmm.
It's that would be defeat. She's been taken out by a bioweapon. And she's looking at means of, bless that, trying to reverse it. It ain't going to happen.
Well, and sold out by traitors.
Yes.
Within
completely.
The military.
Absolutely told to just take a hike. Goodbye. Unbelievable. That's a tough one. They're all tough. And everybody, think about how, and all of you listening have heard so many different profiles of people and the horrors that they have to confront 25 hours a day. There's no mercy from this thing. It's
no.
Whoever designed it ultimately, and it's probably a group, but they went the extra mile to make this an agony ordeal before dying. Horror every step of the way. There's nothing merciful
yeah.
about this. This is a weapon of death, an engine of death.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, how fast is the fuse.
And it varies from person to person. I don't know if that was built into the design. I suspect it was. But that's how clever they are with this nightmare.
Oh, there were
different
a lot of variables.
There
were variations in the, you know, the content of the vials, varying amounts
sure.
of you know, viable mRNA that could be actually uptaken and translated. And then, you know, where was it injected in the person? Did it go into a blood vessel? You know, not that it matters when we're dealing with something in the nanoscale, because nano just blows past all barriers. There's nothing to stop it. And then where did it distribute in the body?
Exactly. This is just really, it just gets, it's getting worse. And again, I would just ask in general terms, when you oversee and look at these groups, survey them, no one is getting better. They're just getting worse. And part of it is the horror of interfacing with a medical establishment that just doesn't know, doesn't care, and is not capable of addressing this. If they did try, they'd lose everything, their jobs, maybe their lives. This is a deployed weapon. You have to keep that in mind. Don't use the word vaccine.
You know, consider the irony of, you know, asking the people who pretty much deployed the weapon, i.e. the medical establishment, now you're going to ask them for help? The same people that poisoned you?
That's exactly right. Okay, here. Let's see, May 10th, damaged from one Johnson & Johnson. See that one?
May 10th. Okay, let me find it.
Yeah, it's a thread of three, right at the top.
I'm getting there.
Right. damaged from one J&J.
Okay, got it.
All right. Okay, take the first two and I'll grab the third.
Okay, one J&J, March of 2021. On May 9, 2021, all hell broke loose. Tingling, burning, and other sensations all over. Insomnia, panic attacks, adrenaline dumps, constant crying and anxiety, and probably stuff I am forgetting. All tests normal, but March 2022, a positive SFN, that's small fiber neuropathy, biopsy. Washington panel negative, and I'm not sure what that is. I had to go on Lexapro to deal with it. Slowly things started improving, and by spring 2023, I felt normal again. I weaned off Lexapro in October 2023 with no problems, and I was feeling great and happy. First week of April 2024, I started having tingling and burning again, setting off anxiety. Not as bad as the first time, but new symptoms started Monday, and is burning mouth-like and bitter metallic taste. I'm wondering if this could be MCAS or histamine? Allergies in New Jersey are very bad right now. Any comments appreciated? I am very sad right now. Someone says, April 2021, I had one J&J. About a year after, I developed anxiety, depression, OCD that I didn't have before. It was crippling. I gradually got better, but then it turned into panic attacks at night. I have to get out of bed to make it stop. Would meds help this?
I don't know how these poor people, and there are tens of millions of them, deal with these things. It's too much.
You know, you don't hear that much about the J&Js, but
no.
You know, that had some casualties with it too.
All right, here's the last piece on that. J&J vaccine injury has robbed me of over 2 years of my life. I've done 60 hours in a hard hyperbaric oxygen therapy chamber with some improvement in my small fiber neuropathy symptoms, but I will likely need at least 40 more hours. I still have such severe orthostatic intolerance that I can't even sit normally or stand for more than a few minutes. I'm basically homebound. Is anyone using a soft hyperbaric chamber at home? If you are pleased with it, can you share what brand or model it is? There are so many different manufacturers out there that I would feel better with a recommendation. Thanks in advance. And people respond to that. 60 hours? I bet you're broke. Or is insurance covering this for you? Hope you get some responses. Another person. J&J also robbed me of my life. I have yet to try hyperbaric due to financial constraints. So sorry you're going through this. Hugs. And another. I saw a group called Hyperbaric Oxygen Treatment. Maybe you can ask there. Thinking to get my own, too. And that's it. So, hyperbaric oxygen is not necessarily the best thing to do in this kind of a inflammatory producing catastrophe.
Yes, that's exactly right. You know, it'll feel good, but you may be paying a price for it. And, you know, oxygen is a drug, which is why you need a prescription for medical grade oxygen. And it can help or hurt, you know, depending on the situation. I'm not even talking about the oxidative therapies like ozone or hydrogen peroxide. This is just standard molecular oxygen, sometimes even just at normal atmosphere or, you know, under pressure. But it can create a lot of oxidative stress if your body's not prepared for it. So in some cases, people will load up with antioxidants before they go into the chamber to try to mitigate some of the damage.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, you've got to be respectful of oxygen. You know, oxygen, you know, doesn't itself burn, but it will feed a flame. So if you've got a lot of oxidative stress already, you know, you can really amp it up with extra oxygen. And we find that even the people that want to go out and exercise, they feel good enough that they think they're ready to go out for a run or something or just do some vigorous exercise. Mm-hmm. And because of the circulation issues, they don't have the perfusion to get the oxygen into their tissues. They really pay for it the next day and possibly for several days.
Sludge, and blood, no heme.
Yeah, and it's a form of oxygen toxicity.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes. All right, let's do one more here. Long COVID. It's in that same group. You got that?
Yep.
All right, let's split this first one. It's somewhat lengthy. My wife got COVID around Christmas time and hasn't been the same since. She has a wide range of symptoms. Her symptoms are difficult to breathe. Feels like she's breathing through a soda straw. But the O2 stats, the oxygen stats, are fine. She's unsteady on her feet. She has brain fog, problems getting her words out, headaches, and muscle weakness. About 10 days ago, she became completely non-responsive and was admitted to ICU. She was totally non-responsive for 2 days. She spent a total of 5 days in ICU. The doctors thought she had had a stroke, but all the tests came back just fine. Even when she was non-responsive, her O2 stats were fine also, so they didn't intubate her. They brought in a psychiatrist who thinks it's all in her head, which is BS. Go ahead.
I don't know what mental illness would cause this. The doctors don't know or cannot find a diagnosis. She's had long COVID, but we have met that with a lot of skepticism. It's like no one wants to diagnose her with that or believes this is what has caused this to happen. She will be going to a rehabilitation center because she is unable to sit and cannot hold her back up, cannot walk, can't move her. She can move her left arm, but not much movement in the right arm. It's like she is going to have to learn to do things all over again. Has anyone experienced something like this? She has never gotten better after she got COVID and has continued to get worse until she woke up from being non-responsive. The doctors are baffled and the psychiatrist thinks she's crazy. I know her depression and anxiety hasn't gotten worse since COVID, but I don't know a single person that wouldn't be depressed and have anxiety if you feel like you are breathing through a straw and have been sick for 4 months. It seems like there's not enough information about long COVID. Again, has anyone experienced something like this?
All right, again, also, this is not a vax injury. This is a bioweapon virus injury. She got COVID. She got the virus. Okay? Don't say that COVID as a viral agent is just like getting a cold. No. This is a bad, bad, bad bioweapon which will produce spike in you. Oh, man.
Somebody did ask this person, if you got the RNA jab, it crosses the blood-brain barrier so it can affect any system in your body. And he replies, not that I disagree with you, but I did not have the jab and have long COVID since March of 2020. My autonomic nervous system is whacked from just the virus itself.
There you go.
And the original poster said I didn't get COVID shots and caught COVID in May 2021, spent about 3 weeks on ECMO and about 7 months
in the
hospital.
3 weeks on an ECMO machine?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can say I'm a little better, but I still deal with many of the symptoms that were described in previous posts, and I'm 3 years post-COVID. And go ahead and read this next one, because this is kind of important, that long COVID number two.
An ECMO machine is you're dead.
Extracorporeal oxygenation.
Yeah.
Membrane oxygenation.
You'll die.
It's a machine that basically puts oxygen into your blood.
Yep. You want me to read number two?
Yeah.
I can back it up. Did she get tested for muco? Oh, I know. Yes. Mucormycosis.
Correct.
I got it. All right, I get a little star on my chart. It doesn't look anything like mucormycosis. It's mucorasmosis. thank you. Tried to trick me. I survived. Readily secondary infection caused by COVID. My family and many others are fighting through this. It was caused by COVID, the virus. Someone says deadly. Another person says sounds horrible. Are they diabetics? Mucormycosis? Fungal. Gosh, that's a tough one for your family. Yeah, it
now,
is.
If you remember, that's that black fungus.